Let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel. Excuse me, Ezekiel chapter 22. And also 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Ezekiel 22, verse 30 says, "And I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord God." And then turn to 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Second Chronicles 7:14, "And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will hear their land. Now my eyes should be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place." Amen. These are a few passages on prayer. And a few passages on of intercession. You know, I was just in Korea over the week weekend, and went to a wedding, a wonderful wedding, and very cold. You know, so I caught a little bit of sniffles. But you know, one thing that really struck me, and obviously, I mean, I didn't spend too much time there, but you know, there's a huge crisis going on right now. Depending on what newspaper that you read right now, you know, it looks like they're at the brink of war, right? You know, they're doing the war games, you know, very close to the border. And, you know, there's already been bombings and shellings. You know, four people have died so far. And you go through this thing. But, you know, the mood in Korea, and again, I was only there for 2 days, right? The mood was kind of like, whatever, you know. I mean, I stayed at a hotel right next to the Lotte, you know, department store. And I tell you, major traffic jams, man, of people trying to get into the department store. I mean, I literally was stuck for like 20 minutes just to go around the block, you know, because there's about 5 jillion cars trying to get into the parking lot, you know, and I kind of looked at that, and, you know, because, you know, you spend quite a bit of time in taxi, and, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, like, wow, I thought there was not necessarily a sense of panic, you know, but, you know, some kind of like, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but like heart, you know, of a country. And, but it was just like business as usual. Again, I was only there for 2 days, right? And so, you know, I'm not the most discerning of individuals, but it just kind of dawned on me, you know, and the TV, the news going on, it just was one of those news items. You know, it wasn't much of a big deal. And so I just, you know, it was just kind of a reflection, you know, to me that, you know, this is a really incredibly serious event that's happening, you know, and in my estimation, most people were just kind of like, you know, la, 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 just like life goes on, you know, kind of idea. But see, that's not the biblical concept of how we should look at situations in our life, you know, and the scriptures in Ezekiel, he tells us about, you know, this incredible partnership that God has with his people. You know, he tells us that, you know, that God's original plan, if you read the text carefully, God's original plan is to bring mercy to people. You know, God, you know, wants to reserve judgment, you know, and release mercy, right? Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's what God wants to do. God's plan A is to forgive. God's plan A is to bring peace. You know, God's plan A is to bring harmony in society, in our lives, you know, in the lives of nations. You know, and so he says there, he says, you know, "I look for a man who would stand in the gap." That's all he did. He just needed partnership. He needed one person, just one person, to stand in the gap for the land. That's all. He didn't need an army, you know, he didn't need a whole church, you know. He just said, "I just look for one person. I search for a man among them who should build up the wall, stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it." And he says, "But I found not one." no one. You know, and this bears, you know, on a couple levels. One is the level of God's, you know, kind of really incredible grace that he gives to us as human beings to be mediators of people around us. There's a term for that. We call that numbered with the transgressors, right? You know, that we can, you know, even though we're one of them, we number ourselves, but we can actually stand in the gap. You know, in other words, you know, like the whole idea of the gap is, you know, you have a line of people, or you know, basically you have a wall, and people are trying to, you know, invade into that wall. And so what people did is they stood in the gap, you know, where the enemies couldn't come into, you know, the walls of the city and thus break havoc. And so literally people would stand in, you know, on, you know, in the place of that wall, you know, and give of themselves and sacrifice in a way. And this is a military kind of, you know, idea. And he says, I was just looking for one person to do that. You know, because God's plan A, his heart is to forgive and to bless. You know, his heart is to bring mercy, you know, into these places. And yet he found no one. Right? That speaks of God's desire for partnership, but it also speaks of man's incredible responsibility that we have, especially as people of God. Right? That, you know, I mean, without getting too, you know, lofty, yeah, a lot does depend on our prayers. You know, a lot of what happens in our lives depend on our prayers. You know, and there, I think we'll be very surprised when we get to heaven. You know, and the Lord comes, and you know, the day of judgment comes, and then the reward, and then the believers, right? There's also a day of reckoning that happens, and this is, you know, where this is the believers' judgment. This is when the Lord begins to release his crowns, you know, over his faithful ones, right? You know, and so, you know, we pass through the judgment seat, right? Now we enter a believer's judgment, and God begins to reward us with all the things we did. And I think we'll be very surprised. You know, because we'd be like, well, Lord, I didn't do this, but you did. You prayed. You know, and though you may not have led someone to the Lord, you were the one that said, okay, repeat after me and this kind of things. Or you weren't the one that necessarily discipled someone, but you prayed. And you prayed over nations, and you prayed over, you know, people groups and communities and you know, and cities and all these things. And I think it would be reckoned unto us, you know, in on that day. And so he's you know, there's a responsibility that we have in doing that. And then the Chronicles passage. Now, this is, you have to, when you understand this in context, it actually is much more clearer. Solomon finally builds the house that David wanted to build. Okay, now David was a man of war, and so God said, no, Solomon, you're going to build a house, right? You know, this all goes into the idea of sonship, right? And so the son actually builds the father's house. And so he comes, and the glory of God comes, you know, if you read chapters before, the glory of God comes into the area, and then he comes as the building is dedicated, the glory, the Shekinah of God now, I mean, just the incredible resting present glory of God comes over the temple and all the courts and all the buildings and all that's happening. And so God comes down, and he comes down in such glory. You know, that the priests, they usually go into the temple to do their religious duties. They couldn't even go in. You know, I mean, it'd be like, you know, it'd be awesome the day that happens, right? It'd be like that no one's here, right? And Sunday morning, you know, it's time for church, you know, so we get here about 9:30 or so, and we can't even walk into the service. The door is open, you know, but just the glory of God is residing in this room. You know, and so even if we just couldn't get into the door. And that's what happened. The priests couldn't even get into the door because the glory was so powerful inside. You know, and if you get an idea of what the glory means or what's like, it's a lot of times translated as just weight. It's going to be very easily called the heaviness of God. You know, where it's so heavy. You know, just the weight, you know, another word that they use, the word kabod, right? It's so heavy, you know, that comes down. That's why a lot of times when you see throughout revival history, when the presence of God came, people knelt. You know, I mean, they just went on their face before God. And I don't think it was really an act of humility. I think because it was just so heavy. you know, and everyone just kind of started crouching down, and next thing you know, everyone's on their face before the Lord. And I mean, that's how much of the presence of God filled the space. And so these guys are coming in, and so God is saying, okay, this is my stamp of approval on this space that you have created for me. And he says, you know what? This is going to be the house of sacrifice. I'm going to dwell here sometimes when you guys come and sacrifice. But then he gives, so this is what you need to do. You know, the Israelites are quite proud, you know, like, wow, this is great. You know, we built God's house, you know, and so this is happening, and this is awesome, and, you know, and all these things. And then he says something really interesting. He says, 14, but my people who are called by my name, they humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will hear their land. And now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. And, you know, and the Israelites are being, you know, feeling proud of yourselves. I mean, it's like there's really no comparison to this, right? But basically, God is saying, I like this place. You know, these guys made this place for him, you know, and they offered all these burnt offerings and things. I enjoy the space that you've given to me, but that's not it. And can you imagine being one of the guys that made this space and be like, feel really proud? And God says, that's just not it. You need to humble yourself. You need to seek my face, right? You need to pray, you know, and you need to change your ways, turn from your wicked ways. And then he says, and then I'll come, you know, I'll hear from heaven, and I'll do something beyond just this space. I'll heal your land around you, right? You know, I think this is a good word for us as a church, because I think sometimes we get very comfortable in our space. We at least we're thankful, you know, it's small, but we have a place to worship, you know, and we're praying for another place, you know, that we can come to. And you can get very comfortable. And as long as, you know, your church people or people around you are being blessed, a lot of times we get very comfortable and we feel very content. You know, oh yeah, so-and-so just got a job, praise God. You know, and so-and-so's mom just got healed, praise God. You know, and these guys are dating and they're married now, praise God. Right, but see, that's not really the purpose of the church. You know, there's this one great Christian statesman from England years ago. He says this. He says the church, right, is the only organization on the earth that actually exists for the benefit of its non-members. You know, we exist for the benefit of our non-members, right? You know, our members, yes, they benefit as well, but our primary mode of existence is actually for people outside of the church. You know, and this is where that partnership comes in, right? You know, and we can't get too complacent that, oh yeah, Lord God, your glory, you know, I feel your presence when I'm at church or, you know, when I'm in your house or whatnot. You know, but the whole idea of that was that that actually would extend to all of the land. You know, everything that's going around us. You know, and I really feel, you know, for myself, but, you know, for us as a church, really, just a rededicated call to prayer, you know, a rededicated call to really seek God's face, you know, in this hour that we're living in right now, you know, and not just for things for ourselves, you know, but especially for people outside, you know, of our church, outside of our community, you know, that we really go after in that way, right? And so let's close our eyes today. And we're changing the order a little bit in the mornings, and we're trying to give more opportunity for our pastoral staff. And so I'm sharing on Tuesdays, and one of the other who's Wednesday, right? Sam Kim's Wednesday, Pastor Nate is Thursday, and Sophia's Friday, right? And then if anyone falls asleep, you know, or doesn't wake up or is sick, then Pastor Salamat is stepping in, right? So he's our safety valve, you know. And so we want to just hear from the staff related to this theme. So now you guys got it, right? And so let's close our eyes and let's go before the Lord. And let's stand in the gap. You know, let's repent. Let's repent for our prayerlessness. Let's repent for our lack of concern outside of the church. You know, even as you know, there most of us in here are Koreans. You know, let's repent on behalf of our home countries. Let's number ourselves with the transgressors and seek forgiveness and ask God to relent. Because the punishment of God is death. You know, not just an earthly death, but, you know, the lake of fire, eternal death. And as Jisun leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that. Let's ask the Lord to come. Stand in the gap. Let's spend a moment as we start praying. And if there's something that's on your heart, you know, around where you live, maybe it's your family, maybe it's your workplace. You know, but something just outside of your spiritual community, let's stand in the gap. If there's something that you don't like that's happening around you, you know, let's stand in the gap for that. You know, instead of getting angry about it or complaining about it, stand in the gap. Begin to pray. You know, imagine yourself like that soldier that's, you know, where parts of the wall is crumbling. And you stand in that place and you fight. But our war is not with swords and bows and arrows. Our war is on our knees. And so let's stand in the gap. Well, there's a burden that you have. Stand in the gap. Begin to see God's face. You know, repent for yourself and on behalf of those people around you. And then see what God does as He relents and offers mercy. Well, let's pray a bit. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for the church, and you know, let's pray for the people in the church, especially. You know, as we continue to grow, you know, a lot of people are going to fall through the cracks. You know, and even now, I notice there's a lot of people that, you know, that we're more involved and seemingly just walking with the Lord, and they just seem so distant these days now. And so, let's stand in the gap on behalf of our church members and. You know, let's ask the Lord to revive them and to bring them into fellowship and to renew their passion for Jesus. You know, let's just lift them up and ask the Lord to just deal graciously with them. You know, let's pray. Let's continue to pray for our building search and our funds and ask God to really come through for us. Let's pray for the Vine. Let's ask the Lord to continue to meet their needs and that they would fulfill their obligations as well, and the Lord would just really open up that space for us. And let's just intercede and cry out to the Lord. You know, we have a real need, especially for our kids, and let's pray that God would just really do something for Noah's Ark and really help them to get more space. Let's just pray. Let's pray finally in our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's ask God's hand to be upon this country. Let's pray for their government and pray for the missionaries there. Pray for the Chung family, for the boys as they figure out their future plans. Let's pray for John's ministry as he continues to travel and preach his word. Let's pray for the other Chungs, for Matt and Nate's parents. Let's pray for protection and covering, and they will continue to make headway in the things of the Spirit that move around them. Let's pray for Chichihar and the kids. Let's pray that they will just grow in wisdom and stature and in the presence of the Lord. And let's pray for our Beijing House Church, that God would really come and really move in such a powerful way. And you know, and especially, you know, just for the whole country, let's just pray for a very coherent rule of law. You know, on the flight back, I was reading the Sunday Post, and, you know, they had all these articles on these dissidents, and, you know, and the one common thread is they really cried out for is law, you know, that would, you know, get rid of corruption and, you know, all these things, and just a real, you know, independent judiciary. I think that's going to go a long way in helping China become all that China needs to be. And so let's pray on that end, especially for that point. Let's just cover. Father, we bless you today, God. Lord, we count ourselves as ones, God, that will stand in the gap, Father. I pray that we would be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, God, that when there's a burden or when there's a thing that you want to activate on earth, God, that you would trigger our hearts, Lord, and our response would be to fall on our knees and to pray the price, God. Lord, help us to be that type of church, Lord, that does that. Holy Spirit, come. And just breathe life, Father God, in this place, and God, and let that breath extend, God, to the ends of the earth. We bless you, Lord. Watch over us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you guys tomorrow morning.